The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Get ready to take notes, because school is now in session. Tackling the biggest issues in education, this is Education America. Save the classroom, save the country. Here are your hosts, Headmaster Rebecca Hagstrom and co-host Abigail Johnson.
Hey, teacher, leave the kids alone.
Welcome to Education America, where we're working to save the classroom so that we can save the country. K-12 education is the playing field where the battle is on for the future of our country. And as our 16th president, Abraham Lincoln, succinctly stated, the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. And boy, is that playing out
right
before our very eyes.
I
know. A little concerning here, isn't it, Abigail?
Yes, it is. And we're going to talk a little bit about that with our one of our evergreen guests. She is a stalwart proponent for change and improvement in education in the state of Minnesota. Catherine Kirsten is a writer, an attorney, and a senior policy fellow and director at the Center for the American Experiment. And Catherine, thank you so much for joining us again this evening.
Pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And we hear you just got back from Spain and Portugal. What a wonderful opportunity for you.
Oh, boy. It was illuminating in many ways. So.
I bet.
Before we get into your amazing article that we will be discussing, we need to talk about the most important thing, which is what was your favorite thing that you ate while in Spain?
I think the ham croquettes. They were just absolutely mouth-watering.
Wow.
I mean, the food was just outstanding. So,
how fun.
That sounds
amazing. One of many great things about the trip.
Yeah. Well, let me just say
that the thing that impressed me most in one respect was the way that Christopher Columbus is praised and revered. There is a huge statue. You should see his tomb in Seville. He is seen as one of the greatest people ever produced by the nation of Spain, or whose work was forwarded by them. And here, you know, people are tearing down a statue of Columbus in front of our capital, while from what I understand, the police kind of stand by. It was so enlightening in that respect.
Enlightening and refreshing.
Very refreshing.
That is really nice to hear that he is still revered, at least in the country of his origin. So that's great. Well, listen, we're going to turn our attention to your most recent article. You have always been so excellent at doing some in-depth research on things that are happening in Minnesota, but especially with respect to education. And I've been having you on my show since its inception, I think back in 2016. We've been covering this, a lot of different topics over the years. And this one, we've been following for 4 years, this whole process of the social studies standards being rewritten in the state of Minnesota. And we watched it go from, you know, draft one to draft two. And then we're thinking maybe there's some hope of some change, but then it comes back hardly any different. And then we had a little hope when the judge in January, the original judge said, no, I'm not going to pass these. I'm not going to approve the process. And so, but then it goes to the next judge, and I think he made a couple of minor changes and then put it out there almost untouched. And here we are in 2024, 4 years later, after a lot of work from people that were trying to push back on it. We are now faced with a double whammy of the new social city standards, but then also the new legislation from last year.
Correct.
So maybe let's start by, you know, we never want to assume that our listeners have listened to all of our other previous shows. And so maybe just give a quick summary of the new social city standards. You know, what are some of your key concerns about it? And then same with the omnibus ethnic studies bill.
Yes. So the social studies standards determine or are supposed to determine what is taught in K-12 classrooms across the state in terms of history, economics, geography, and citizenship and government. Broad and really central topics, right, to the formation of citizens. What happened was that there's this 10-year process, there's a 10-year kind of revision cycle for academic standards in law. And so under Tim Walz, these social studies standards were revised by, or should I say, entirely
rewritten.
rewritten, and the old standards were repealed, and so we have entirely new standards for the teaching of these crucial subjects. The process was basically hijacked by progressive activists with a very strong political agenda, and at the heart of what they've done now to our classrooms is the injection of something called liberated ethnic studies, which sounds harmless and possibly even, you know, unifying and beneficial on the surface, but in fact is highly political, extremist in its ideology. It's basically a critical theory which teaches kids that to think of themselves as members of narrow, racially, ethnically based identity groups, teaches them that social life is a zero-sum power struggle between oppressors and victims, and encourages them to, quote, resist America's fundamental political and cultural social institutions. Not a good thing. Right. So these have now been formally adopted, as you said. At the same time that these standards were being revised and rewritten by a small group of political ideologues appointed by the Minnesota Department of Education, the same kind of process was being pushed through our legislature. This was last year, and in spring of 2023, this omnibus education legislation was passed that requires over time that this ideology, this extremist ideology of liberated ethnic studies, be embedded in every course, every class, that is science, math, you know, arts, physical education, along with social studies, at every grade level across the state. And at the same time, local school boards are supposed to evaluate all curricula in all subjects, and I think instructional materials as well, to ensure that it is all anti-racist, whatever that might mean.
Right.
But it certainly is very much in line ideologically with what we're seeing in the standards. So this is truly an extremist takeover of our public education system in Minnesota.
Yeah, nothing short of that, honestly.
Yep.
And what comes to mind, you kind of touched on this, school boards. So we have all these conservative parents who have been, you know, uniting across, really all across America, not just in Minnesota. And you've got, you know, Unite titles for almost every district in Minnesota. And these people, many of them are trying to get some of their own school board candidates in to push back on some of these things. But this doesn't even allow for them. So even if they can get onto the school boards, which that alone is difficult because the teachers' unions put their own slate of candidates in and back them financially. But even if you can get in, your hands are tied under this new legislation. Mm-hmm. You are no longer able, right? Can you opt out as a district?
You can't. Well, there are loopholes here.
Okay.
First of all, there is very little enforcement from the top down from the state. The districts they're just swimming in mandates. I've read something like 65 mandates pertaining to schools were included in this legislation last year. So the school board members can set their own priorities. There is no social studies test for students. How do you determine if they're teaching to the standards?
Sure.
And there is no provision for funding being withheld. So a district could there's a fair amount of latitude here in interpretation. It's all about how the district interprets these standards, right? And one of the good things about the pushback that parents were instrumental in getting in front of MDE over the last 3 years is that some of the most extreme language was tinkered with, is more ambiguous, etc. So really, this gutsy school board would be able to sidestep a lot of this. Talking about, for example, they could say, look, there's new reading legislation, right, that they're supposed to be evidence-based, scientifically-based reading instruction put in place. This is going to require time and money and teacher focus. And a school board could say, this is our priority for this year.
Okay.
You know, we'll get to these other things. But right now, this is, you know, this is where our focus needs to be. So there will be for school boards with strong leadership and courage, moral courage, there'll be a lot more flexibility here than might meet the eye. And we have to thank parents who sent in, 30,000-40,000 comments to MDE for some of the softening of that language. So, I mean, there is room for hope. Mm-hmm. Plus, I think families are just going to begin to flee these schools even more than we're seeing now. And, you know, that may put pressure on school boards. And even on MDE, who knows?
Yeah, even on MDE. Maybe.
Well, it's happening in Minneapolis.
Yeah, is it? Good
There's
point.
Pressure in Minneapolis?
No, not pressure. The students are fleeing.
Oh, yeah.
Students are fleeing.
Yeah. Well, that may turn into pressure. You know, before we start turning our attention to a lot of the content, I do think it's important for us to point out that there are people that are involved in having made this happen. And yes, it was a Walz-appointed board that set up these new social studies standards and really kind of laid out the whole plan for what to do. And, you know, we're all in favor of government involvement. But when it seems like one side is hijacking the entire process, that is not the way the team was meant to be. It was meant to be a more balanced team. And when you look at the people on that committee that made these new social studies standards what they are today, it was not a balanced team, but it was particularly right. I know that's an understatement, right? But talk to us a little bit about especially Ed Lib, Minnesota, and then this gentleman, Brian Lozinski, who served as the chief testifier for HF 1502, which was the Ethnic Studies Omnibus Education Bill. Yeah.
Well, the involvement of these people who are extreme political ideologues is kind of the indicative of the way that leftist activist organizations are working today, mm-hmm. In very deceptive ways, mm-hmm. Because, well, I should say, first of all, Education for Liberation Minnesota is an activist group that is a chapter, in fact, the only state chapter of a national group called Education for Liberation Network, which grew out of the sort of student strikes and riots in the 60s in places like Berkeley, in California, and gave rise to the kind of grievance studies departments, you know, women's mm-hmm. studies, black studies, at the higher education level. But they really do want to see fundamental change, as in literal overturning of American fundamental institutions. Pretty much across the board. So mm-hmm. so these people are highly organized, and Brian Lozinski is a national leader of the Education for Liberation Network. He is a leader of the Minnesota chapter, and he is an organizer, so to speak, for an offshoot of Education for Liberation Minnesota, this activist group, in 2019, knowing that the social studies standards were due to be revised, EdLib Minnesota created a group called the Minnesota Ethnic Studies Coalition, a kind of front group, mm-hmm. you could say. And that group has been at the forefront of putting together of these standards. And although at the Capitol, in February of 2023, there was an Ethnic Studies Day at the Capitol sort of rally. Both of these groups, which of course work together very closely, were portraying ethnic studies as, well, I quoted in my recent article on this, mm-hmm. ethnic studies as an unequaled opportunity to bridge the ethnic and cultural divide in our state's classrooms, you know, bring students together, everybody learn to appreciate other people's cultures, etc. At the very same time, out of the public eye, these groups are right. You know, pushing an ideology that has exactly the opposite yeah. goal in mind.
Right, and that I'm going to kind of jump off again from there. The three things that you talk about in connection with even just one standard, for example, in your article, you say, for instance, students are instructed to describe how individuals and communities have fought for liberation against systemic and coordinated exercises of power. And then in another standard, they must analyze the impact of colonialism. And in a third, they must analyze dominant and non-dominant narratives. And in all three cases, Israel-Palestine is highlighted as an example, and that yep. Representative Ilhan Omar is held up as an immigrant who has made contributions to political ideas.
You mean she yeah. was someone who did something that one time?
Yeah, just that one time. Yeah, that's a perfect example, Rebecca, because this highlights the deception. These are the people who cannot be trusted. Their agenda is to manipulate the public into supporting something that they make sound attractive mm-hmm. and positive, when in fact they are behind the scenes setting the stage to do exactly the opposite. So right. you mentioned these examples, right? The examples in which Israel and Palestine was featured were not made public. The mm-hmm. standards and the benchmarks, which is the grade level mm-hmm. expectations for the standards, those MDE made public, they withheld the examples that made the connection with Israel and Palestine clear. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mm-hmm. the use of Ilhan Omar as an example of the kind of person who should be held up to young people. as someone to model themselves
and
on.
As a unifier.
So, as a unifier, yeah. So this is how these people operate. They say one thing in public. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, they are engineering, you know, really a hijacking of our public school classrooms.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they're using terms like colonialism. What are some of the other mm-hmm. terms that they use? And they actually count in their examples, because I know the Center of the American Experiment got their hands on some of the examples. The U.S. is also listed amongst those that.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is a critical point that people need to understand. This piece I wrote recently on this topic focuses on the manipulation and exploitation of what's happening in Israel and Gaza right now, to target Israel as an illegitimate state, a mm-hmm. colonizer, mm-hmm. with actually the implication being that violent uprising, so to speak, mm-hmm. by its alleged victims is justified. Mm-hmm. The idea of resistance to oppressors is critical to liberated ethnic studies mm-hmm. ideology. But really, really, the target here is the United States mm-hmm. of America. And for example, here's another example of the kind of deception that is a modus operandi for this group. Brian Lozinski, who in front of the public when he was testifying for the ethnic studies bill last spring, portrayed himself as just a parent who
He didn't even acknowledge his role.
No, not at all. No, and listen to this. He was just named to the committee of 25, the permanent working group at the Minnesota Department of Education, that is going to have tremendous influence over how all of this is
implemented
mm-hmm. in Minnesota public. You know how he's described there? Yeah. He's described there, as I recall, as a teacher with experience teaching K-8 ethnic studies in the St. Paul schools.
Or
words that effect.
Goodness.
He is never revealed as a political activist. But, in fact, in my piece that I wrote for the Star Tribune, I link to his testimony mm-hmm. in favor of the Ethnic Studies for All bill. And, he really won't believe it. It's all mm-hmm. about, my kids, I had to go to their classroom. I had to talk about Black History Month. And, there just aren't enough parents or resources to do that. Really, it is just about deceiving the public. So we need to get that on our heads.
Yeah. Well, and then
look behind the curtain.
You have a quote that where he was much more transparent.
Yep.
I believe
exactly.
It was Brian, or was it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was Brian who says, given the devastating impact of Israeli colonialism, by the way, this is all long before October 7th. So they can't say, well, we're just changing our opinion on Israel because, they're extending their war against Hamas. No, this was, I think, in 2022 that he said,
correct.
Given the devastating impact of Israeli colonialism, studying Israeli settler colonialism in comparison to U.S. settler colonialism is at the heart of the discipline of ethnic studies.
Yep.
Says it all right there.
The decolonization ideology behind all of this is at the heart of a kind of progressive activism that focuses on resistance and fundamental political and social change mm-hmm. in America. And part of that is consistent with the 1619 Project.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
Okay, which is about mm-hmm. seeing American history as just the playing out of slavery. And, it's slavery itself is what explains the American prosperity,
yes.
et cetera. So in that case, it would be Black Americans who are the victims of U.S. colonial oppression. We see it very much throughout all of our new standards as well in social studies when it comes to Native Americans, mm-hmm. because the theme there is Native Americans are the oppressed people who were colonized by the U.S. government, by the Minnesota state government, and therefore this delegitimizes the very founding of the United States, of the founding of Minnesota, you know, get off our land. The idea is that, in fact, this is required in this new social studies standards as kids learn, not learn, it doesn't say they have to learn, but it says they have to, like, study or something that mm-hmm. is not master the names of states and capitals. They also are supposed to know the tribes who were there.
Wow.
So this is all of a piece. It's all mm-hmm. about fundamentally representing the United States as an illegitimate colonial power that must be resisted by our kids.
Wow. And that's teaching them. That's the other piece of this. We only have a couple of minutes left, Catherine. It always goes so quickly with you. But can you touch on that activism piece? Because that is a big part of the new ethnic studies standards and the
can't pick philosophy. Israel out on a map, but boy, they're going to protest about
it. Exactly.
And they know the saying from the river to the sea. Palestine must be free. So, yeah.
They won't be able to pick out Israel or Palestine on the map. That's right.
Yeah.
But in terms of activism, MDE itself has stated, and I want to quote here from their statement of need and reasonableness for these standards, students should use their learning in social studies as a launching pad for action.
Wow.
And one of the things they should do in this is to formulate themselves, like 14-year-old kids, quote, potential resolutions of present and controversial global problems.
Well, that's who I look to for wisdom, the 14-year-olds.
Right. 14-year-olds.
Absolutely. Their track record is unrivaled.
Well, the point here is that EdLib Minnesota, Brian Lozinski's group, we've been talking about, that basically wrote these ethnic studies standards, on October 17th, so 10 days after the Hamas invasion mm-hmm. of Israel, they retweeted a call for student walkout for Gaza, which was a national call from the Coalition for Liberated Ethnic Studies that they belong to. And in that, so this goes out to, you know, people who have power in Minnesota mm-hmm. public schools, they included a link for an organizing toolkit for kids from something called the Arab Resource and Organizing Center. And this toolkit comes with timetables and media talking points and protest signs and chants. And one of those signs read, "Decolonize Palestine," and it has a picture of a masked woman throwing a rock with a burning police car behind it.
Unbelievable.
And this is the kind of thing.
And that's the kind of thing.
Happened.
Yes, it does.
It happened at Edina High School.
I know it.
A week later.
It's crazy. You know what, Catherine? We are literally down to our last seconds. And so what I really want people to hear from that is that we are, through our studies here in social studies standards here in Minnesota and the ethnic studies legislation, teaching kids to be activists, and they're doing walkouts like you were about to say in Edina School District and others for Hamas. So we need to have parents taking a look at all of this. So listen to this podcast and check out Catherine Kirsten.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.